My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I like to wait until don't make me take off my belt in order to go to the restroom at work for my long, hopefully 15-minute long work dookie.
Listen, what does that mean? Does what? That mean he wants to avoid below the belt so he goes to the bathroom? Or is he saying, I want to listen to below the belt, so I go to the bathroom for 15 minutes.
I think he does. That's what he's saying. And I'll tell you this, because there are a lot of people out there who do not go to the restroom at work. You realize you're just giving the company a free 15 minutes of work. You're getting a free 15 minutes off. Sometimes you got to go every hour.
I've got to go to another floor.
Yeah. I love the good. Look, if I had a 9-to-5, the work bathroom break, literally. I mean, that's not a smoke. If smokers get 15 minutes every 10 minutes every 2 hours, why shouldn't poopers?
Yeah. And I mean, like, you can't be discriminated against for.
What are you going to do? What are you going to say? You got to check?
No, you can't do it with this job, though.
No, this job's tough. You know, we got 4 hours. You know, it's like, what are you going to do?
You got to have MGC.
Machine gun colon.
Got to have machine gun colon.
Got to have machine gun colon. There's no segue to that. I was trying to come up with one for the Rangers at the White House.
An efficiently moving colon to an inefficiently moving one. Let's talk about the Rangers trip to the White House.
The Rangers met the president yesterday, and they presented him with a jersey, a Rangers jersey with the number 46 on it, because he is the 46th president of the United States. So they gave him that jersey, and there was obviously a big ceremony at the White House. Now, it was indoors. A lot of times these ceremonies are outside, but the weather, because of the Hurricane Debbie, or maybe it's now Tropical Depression or whatever, Debbie, obviously the rain has battered the East Coast, so they were inside for this one. But Bobby went and pulled some audio of the president talking with your world champion, Texas Rangers.
Indeed, and we'll just take these in order, Peyton. These were just legitimately, I just searched on Twitter, Biden, Rangers, White House, kicked up, and I pulled the first like couple ones that I saw there. So this is President Biden yesterday, channeling a little bit of his inner Corey Seager while honoring the Rangers.
From football to basketball to hockey to soccer, many doubters wondered if baseball would ever join them. Well, to paraphrase Corey Seager, I guess we do know.
I see what he did there.
Okay, you know what? It took me, because I didn't know, I was wondering what the hell he said. He said paraphrase.
Yeah.
I thought he said power phase. For, and I was like, what is power phase
no,
mean?
No, to paraphrase Corey like, Singer. Because Corey Singer said, I guess we'll never know.
I guess we do know. Okay, very good. All right.
I get it. It's a callback. It's good.
It's a good callback.
It's good. Adolis Garcia, obviously a big part of the playoff run. So when you're recognizing the team, you could not go to the White House without recognizing the contributions of Adolis Garcia.
Garcia, another major league record. Most RBIs in a single season. My job, I'm always looking for runs batted in. You know?
Carter, can you take me off the stand cam? I don't want the people.
No, it's he obviously meant most RBIs in a playoff run.
It was a playoff run, which and Adolis was without question the like that was the he was probably the most fun guy to watch during the whole start to finish the playoff run last year. I mean, it seemed like he came up in a big spot all the time. Seager obviously as well in the World Series, but
I didn't know that was slang in D.C., though, that, like, the politicians are like, I'm always looking for runs better than, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, I didn't.
Because I don't know what that
means. Is he talking about votes?
You think? I don't know. Is that way? I don't. Why would that be runs batted in?
Don't talk politics. Don't
this whole segment is about politics.
No, it's not. It's about the Rangers. Runs. I just don't know what that means. Runs batted. Finally, Bruce Bochy, big part of this Texas Rangers team. You know, Bochy gave him some boots. It wasn't just the 46ers. He gave him those boots.
Oh, yeah, the boots.
Gave him the boots out there. President Biden had to recognize the great accomplishment of the four-time champion, Bruce Bochy.
Manager Bruce earned four World Series as a coach. Yeah. I told him.
Yeah.
Told him he's going to need another finger. Or else you got to put the fifth ring on his thumb. I mean, I don't know how you do that, man.
One for the thumb. That's what.
How do you do that, man?
My favorite part of this, though, was on each of these clips. Every time he would say anything, the one guy in the Hallelujah Chorus, I think it was Jared Sandler.
It's Sandler. Play these all again, Peyton, and just play it around that one spot where the guy. Yeah, it's clearly you can hear it for the first one. This is Jared Sandler in the background.
Manager Bruce earned four World Series as a coach.
Yeah. That's Sandler.
Okay. All right, now the next one.
Garcia, another major league record.
That's Sandler again.
Sure. Okay, now the Seager one.
Well, to paraphrase Corey Seager.
Yeah. See?
All of them are Sandler.
It's Sandler. That's easily
like,
Sandler.
There's no decorum. Like, do you even
know?
Do you know where you are? You're at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, Peyton.
As Peyton found that out yesterday. You cannot. You're in the White House, man.
You can't just shout things.
No.
You can't just be like, you know, you can't just
although,
be,
as we found out, the Secret Service doesn't really do anything right now. Anyways.
Yeah, that's true. You can't be like Drake on a feature. Yeah, boy. Like, you have to.
Yeah, you can't be the hype man here. Yeah. What are we doing?
So, no, you got to just keep your comments to yourself, Jared. All right? Keep them to yourself. That's not for you to be
offset the background,
just popping man. Off in the middle of a ceremony honoring the Texas Rangers. A ceremony that went by, it sounds like, without any controversy.
It did. I did not see a meal. Did you see a meal, what they had?
I did not.
I didn't see what they fed. Because I assumed it would be some kind of brisket.
Yeah.
Barbecue,
but I mean, would you want DC barbecue or brisket?
What is DC cuisine known for? I don't even know.
I don't know.
I don't even know what they're known for.
Yeah. Stop. One more thing really quickly. The coolest part of this, though, was the music that the White House had ready to play for them. The orchestral music ready as the Rangers made their way into the White House for the ceremony. I think that's the first classical composition of Creed's Hire that's ever been played.
I don't know, but I can pretty much guarantee you that's the first time that song has ever been played in the White House.
Yeah, that's true.
I
don't know. When was that? 99?
Clinton
could have been in the West Wing listening to Hire.
Yeah, he was probably listening to
Sparking
something else.
And then
W came in. W wasn't listening to Creed.
No, he was listening to Cross Canadian Ragweed.
Probably. So there's Rangers with a little trip to the White House. Now they take the train to New York City. And they are going to take on the Yankees this weekend, weather permitting, because it is raining like crazy up there. And they may have caught the Yankees at a good time, who they just dropped 2 of 3 to the Angels. And they got outscored 17-6 in the last two games.
Boy, all that Aaron Boone silhouette knowledge I texted you yesterday.
That was pretty impressive.
It was on Talking Yanks or something. It was some podcast. They were interviewing Aaron Boone, and they threw him up.
I think that's the John Boy podcast.
Oh, okay. So they threw up like 10 silhouette clips of guys batting or pitching.
His players former players.
Players or former players. And then they made him guess by the silhouette, like, can you tell whose motion that is? And he nailed every single one of them.
I'm like, that is super impressive. That probably shows, because your vantage point from the manager is not what it would be watching it on TV. Like, he's watching a ton of film.
Did you hear his Severino dig, though? He goes, oh, that's Sevy. He's been ducking our two best hitters.
Oh,
because Severino's not been hasn't pitched against them.
No, that's right. The White Sox fired Pedro Grifol, their manager.
And this made you guffaw.
This made me guffaw. They're 28-89. By the way, they're going to hit 100 losses before September. Here's my issue with this. And Steve Phillips talked about this on MLB Network yesterday. What was he supposed to do? You actively tried to lose, and then you sold off all of his best players, right, at the trade deadline. They were already bad enough.
Mm-hmm.
But what was he supposed to do? You weren't expecting them to win. You were trying to lose. This is more an indictment on the general manager than the manager to me.
Is this Monty Williams in Detroit all over again? Where it's like, Pistons are awful. What do you
want them to do?
Why are you firing a guy? Like, you gave him nothing. Right. Cade Cunningham, by the way, Piston star at Cowboys practice yesterday.
Nice. What they should have done is keep them and keep letting them lose. Do you think the new manager wants this on their resume? So the White Sox want a guy currently in uniform. They want a guy who's currently a manager of Major League Baseball. Do you think you think Joe Maddon wants to come back and manage this team and put 100 losses on his record? I don't think he does.
No. Now they are. I mean, maybe what they were just looking for is like, hey, let's have somebody to just get us by while we rebuild our farm system.
But
they've got one of the top 10 farm systems. Like, hey, we just need a figurehead as we get by and we build the farm system. And then we're going to present ourselves as a young up-and-coming team with all this talent in the minor league system to a manager. Like, hey, come in here and help bring these guys up.
Sidebar here is Jerry Reinsdorf is the owner. He is the worst owner in sports. He's been the owner there.
More than David Tepper?
David Tepper's been there for, people have broken wind and it's lingered longer than David Tepper's tenure, okay? This guy's been there 41 years. I'm sorry, 43 years, bought the team in 81. How many times have they made the playoffs in the 43 years he's been the owner?
I'm going to guess 5.
6.
Okay.
6. How many years of those 6 have they won a playoff series in?
3.
1.
Oh, and they won the World Series.
And it was the year it's like they're like the Eli Manning of baseball. Like, Eli's only won playoff games in a year in which he won the Super Bowl. Other than that, he was one and done. That's the White Sox. Like, you're the problem, dude. It's not Pedro Grifol, who nobody could. I mean, you're probably paying him nothing. And now you're going to pay him to sit on a beach. Like, cool, man. If I was Pedro, I'd be like, thank God I have to manage this team again.
Yeah, I don't have to sit. I mean, that can't be. That's got to be just absolutely brutal for all those guys to lose that consistency as much as they do. By the way, Chop, we have a little bit of breaking airline and NFL news.
Airline like and NFL
news. Oh, yeah. I feel like this is right in your wheelhouse.
I
get to combine an airline incident.
Okay.
All right. Reports this morning. The Carolina Panthers players were aboard a Delta airline plane that ran off the taxiway at Charlotte Douglas International Airport early Friday morning. Ian Rapoport falls behind with more comments. The Panthers say the team can confirm that their charter team plane, after landing safely, did run off the taxiway and into the mud. The team could also confirm that no injuries were reported and no one was hurt. So just again, now you can't even trust the chartered flights, Chop.
Even with Boeing?
I don't know. Does Delta fly mostly Boeings?
I don't remember.
Well, it's another plane, landed apparently safely, and then just was like, well, let's just stop here in the mud for a little bit.
I do notice this, that most American U.S. airlines, because I assume NFL teams fly those big jumbo jets.
Yeah, like the
777.
What are the A330? Is that the big one?
The 380 is the double decker.
Okay.
Most American U.S. airlines have, you know, don't use a lot of Airbus big mm-hmm. planes. They use their narrow body.
It was a Boeing. It was a Boeing 767-332.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Mm-hmm. There you go. Real quick, is Colleyville about to win the American League MVP? There is a late push for Junior, Bobby Wood Jr., to win the American League Most Valuable Player. DraftKings has him at plus 550. Now, Judge is still the absolute favorite at like 1-5 to win this thing. And Aaron Judge is like crazy. But, you know, Bobby Witt Jr. has got tremendous numbers this year. Like, literally tremendous numbers.
Leads the majors in batting average.
He leads the major batting average at 349, hits 162, total bases 281, and runs 99. Now, Judge leads the league in, home runs, RBIs, walks, on base, slugging, OPS plus, OPS, weighted runs created, all that. So, like, he's the best hitter in the sport. It's just, does Bobby have a chance? Because if the Royals make the playoffs, that would be a pretty impressive feat.
You're going to have a hard time arguing against what Judge is doing, though.
You are.
Because this is, we don't see these 1,100 OPS seasons very often anymore.
No, we don't. All right, let's head it back out to Oxnard. We guys have some, breaking WWE news.
Since June 30th, by the way, Bobby Witt is hitting 464.
Since June 30th?
That's 31 games, he's hitting 464.
God! Stupid. Let's head back out to Oxnard. Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com, joins it next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Crosstalk with the KNC Masterpiece coming up in 20 minutes right here on 105 through the Fan. I'm RJ Choppy. He is Bobby Belt. It is Sean and RJ here on the Fan. Sean is out. Last day of paternity leave. Well, for this session, he's still got a couple of weeks left. Peyton Russell alongside Carter finally making his way into the show this morning. It was nice of him to join us. Also nice of Nick Eatman to join us at DallasCowboys.com. Brought to you by the Windstar World Casino and Resort. Proud to be the casino of the Dallas Cowboys. Please game responsibly. Good morning, Nicholas.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Not a whole lot out there for you to do yesterday, was there?
There was a little bit.
No.
There was a little bit going on. It was good.
No joint practice, no drama, nothing.
No, nothing at all. No. Thanks, Jerry. yeah. Yeah, it's always crazy when you're here for, you know, a few weeks like this, established, then all of a sudden just another team just shows up and, you know, steals your tent, things like that.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that happened. That happened. It was okay. It was okay because it was the Rams. It was okay. And so that was my saving grace. Like, it's all right. We'll be good teammates. If it wasn't the Rams, if it was another LA team, maybe we'd have some. Yeah. It would be different.
I mean, that's like your sister team. Jerry basically owns that team the way he got him to LA. You know,
he got him there.
All right, so we're gonna ask you about the CD thing. We are gonna play the audio of it first because there is a little bit of a bubbling controversy.
Yes, there
where I mean, my God, I said it earlier. For there to be an internet claim that John Machota of all people is a clickbait artist is hilarious to me. But there is a claim that. He was taken out of context. Jerry was taken out of context yesterday. So here's the full context of the discussion yesterday that led to the viral CD interaction.
Are you saying there's a sense of urgency as you begin the preseason to get CD done?
No.
No? Why you say that?
I went to high school. I went to college. I don't know why I said it, but I'm just saying I don't know. I don't have a sense of urgency about getting it done.
It's a long-standing tradition.
Pick any reason you want. I said Nobu 2 days ago.
All right, so the quote that John Machota shared was just the portion after that where he said, you know, I don't have a sense of urgency.
Right.
But the question also has been, some people have said, well, clearly the question was about, do you have a sense of urgency to get it done during the preseason? And I hear it and I say, that sounds more like Calvin saying, at this point in time, as the preseason begins, do you feel like you have a sense of urgency? Not that he's limiting it to the preseason. So I don't know. Lots of different interpretations.
Yeah.
How did you take it yesterday, and how did you take CD's response of LOL with a period at the end?
Yeah. I don't know if I saw the period at the end. It's not good when you get that. You know, it's just like, okay, that's all I've got to say, which is like, what, three letters. But I was there for that part of Jerry, and I'd still laugh at the high school college thing. I don't even know what that means.
I don't even know what that means.
We were
either.
Talking about that. We have no idea what that means.
It's because I said so is really what it sounds like. But I took it as the preseason is starting. Now that the preseason's here, do you have a sense of urgency? And it's no. And I don't fault any of that. I kind of thought it was a little taken out of context, because you also have to and no one's tweeting this part, but the first part of that interview, somebody asked him, you know, do you anticipate with these receivers how they are performing with CD being out, and you know, with the season, you know, here, what, a month away, and he goes, well, I don't anticipate not having CD. So let's just stop right there. So he kind of corrected one reporter's question by saying, I'm not thinking we won't have him. So that's the tone that I kind of took from there, and then everything else was just, no, I'm not going to jump into your question and say that I'm getting, you know, that I'm – it's all leverage. You know, it's a leverage thing. He's not going to change his stance on that. You know, I thought he was even worse towards Zach Martin last year, if you remember that. Mm-hmm. I thought some of the things he said towards Zach, who has been here a lot longer, and you know, he's even more established than CD at the time. So I think it's just a game. It's just a game that they're playing, and he's definitely not gonna you know, sound like he's you know, with CD's getting the upper hand through the media. So I don't know. I don't think it's that big a deal, and maybe the LOL isn't that big a deal either. But I think it kind of I think there's some sensitivity here that's growing as this thing goes on.
Yeah, any concern that right after the LOL he took hashtag America's team out of his Twitter bio.
Who's on that beat? Is what I want to know.
I want to know that. How does that work? Ari Myrov. Although I don't know those. Typically, yeah, those accounts steal things.
It doesn't. I've never understood the impact of like removing, you know, your somebody's tag or
because
it's a generation. It's a generation that learned to I'm unfriending you. And
right.
So it's that same thought process. It's definitely meant as an insult.
Yes, from there, the players value its impact for sure.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on, and I understand the part about being fair, and so that I don't get caught up in the, you know, these guys are making this. What's another couple million? Yeah. I don't get involved in that because I understand that it's all relative to, you know, where you stand, and if this is the market and this is what you should be paid, then I get that. But as we get there, you know, Dak's not making it that easy. You know, to me, when I look at Dak and I think, all right, well, CD's upset about this and this. Well, you know, Dak could be doing the exact same thing and not here. And then what would the team look like? How worried are we about them getting ready for the season, you know, if Dak were to do that? So that's why I just kind of wish this whole thing, you know, hopefully it'll end soon. I thought yesterday on 8-8, you know, I thought it would be a perfect day to get that thing done, but I guess not. It actually was the perfect day to get it to blow up even more.
Right. So do you have a problem with Jerry not having a sense of urgency?
No. Yeah, a little. It's not just Jerry, but it's like I think that, you know, they could have gotten this thing. You would like to think they could have gotten this done earlier. You know, it feel like, and I could be dead wrong on this. This is why it's kind of tough for me to talk about that. Any of us to talk about how this negotiations were, but you just kind of get the sense that they sort of it ramped up when they got to training camp, and you just wonder, did it have to ramp up then? You know, could it have? Mm-hmm. Could this have happened a little earlier? Again, I don't know how all that works. I really don't. I know other teams do it, but then again, other teams aren't necessarily trying to sign three at once. But this didn't sneak up on anybody. You know, like these contracts haven't snuck up on us.
No.
So that's why I kind of wonder, yeah, I think the urgency could have started a little earlier. But I just don't feel at the end of the day that they think that it's a problem with CD not being here. You know, I think they feel like he's going to come when he does get here. He's going to be fine with the offense. He's going to be in shape. He's going to be ready to roll. And so I just don't feel like they're at the panic level yet.
Talking with Nick Eatman from DallasCowboys.com. Okay, so that addresses the CD angle of it without even getting into Micah Parsons retweeting it and Dak walking off the podium and everything else. But let's talk about Dak Prescott a little bit. Edwarder, Matt Mosley had an interview with Stephen Jones, and we're talking to him about Dak's future and the negotiations as they stand. And this is this is what Steven had to say yesterday about Dak.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we signed him to a long-term deal last time, and you know, we don't look at it that way. We look at it that Dak's our partner in this. We're trying to win a championship. No one wants to win a championship more than Dak Prescott. I can assure you that. And we don't look at it like we're trying to, pay him not to go somewhere else. We just look at it as we're working with him and his representatives to try to come up with something that's good for Dak and his family. But of all people, Jerry in particular, doesn't blame anybody for wanting to make money. So we certainly understand that. But, you know, he's just, you know, he's the leader of this franchise. No one respects him are things more than the Jones family, the Cowboys organization, and we just continue to work to get something done.
Nick, is it dangerous, if you genuinely have the intention of re-signing Dak Prescott, is it dangerous to look at it through the lens of Stephen's quote there where he says, we don't look at it like we're trying to pay him not to go somewhere else? Should there be a healthy fear of, hey, he's potentially got the open market waiting for him?
Yeah, I don't know what the question was, and so I'm not. I guess it was. Are you worried about him going somewhere else? If that was like the general part of it, but I think that's always like the secondary part of losing a player in free agency. I mean, the first part is that you don't have him, and you've got to figure out how to replace him. And then the second part is, yeah, you don't want him to go somewhere else, especially if he's going to end up, you know, beating you or playing, you have to play against them and all that. But I think it all just goes hand in hand. I mean, again, I'm not sure what. Maybe it's too early in the morning for me. I'm trying to didn't sound like anything that I don't think I've heard before. And so for me, it's like, yes, it's all part of the process here. Get it done so you know he can be on your team and figure out how to way to structure it when you got to pay the CD for sure and probably Micah as well, because I'm telling you if what you're seeing out here with Micah, it doesn't seem like somebody. It's really easy for people to say, you know, trade him, or I don't think you have to worry about that, or you know, franchise him, but he at least looks the part right now of a player that, man, I think you'd want him on your team as well. So all three of them combined, I think, is creating this dilemma for the Cowboys.
All right, Nick, we appreciate it, man. Right. We'll see you. We'll talk to you on Monday.
All right, sounds good. See you guys.
That is Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com, brought to you by the Windstar World Casino and Resort. Proud to be the casino of the Dallas Cowboys. Please game responsibly. Crosstalk. Mike Bassick.
Oh, baby.
Crosstalk. Coming up next on The Fan.
All right, it's the Mike Bassett Crosstalk, and I was driving in this morning, and I was listening to you guys crush on the Chicago White Sox.
I mean, Jerry Reinsdorf's got a 43-year head start on everybody else in the league, and he's got 6 playoff appearances.
Well,
pretty bad.
I'm not going to argue that, but they hired Chris Getz as their general manager in the offseason.
Anything you need, Chris Getz.
That's why they're firing the manager. Yeah. He was not going, no matter what, unless they would have somehow played 500 right. baseball. That's not his guy. Just like Chris Young's guy was not Chris Woodward. The only reason Bruce Bochy is here is because of the relationship of
sure.
of Chris Young in San Diego with Bochy being his manager. So I'm not saying the White Sox are 5 years away from being 5 years away. But the reason that the manager, Pedro Grifol, I always have to like say his whole name to try to get it right, is he's fired because he was the day that they hired Chris Getz as the general manager was the day he was going to be fired.
I get that. My thing is like, let him be the sacrificial lamb for longer. Like, because the next guy you bring in is going to get fired in 3 years anyway.
They need to let this happen now, because Skip Schumacher is going to be their next manager. Skip is leaving Miami. They need to let it be known immediately. Just like the Rangers firing Chris Woodward, they pretty much already had a deal done with
Bochy.
So it's kind of this. What they're doing is, because they know Skip is probably leaving, because they fired or they demoted, I'm sorry, the lady.
It was Kim Ng.
And she's like, I'm not getting demoted. We made the playoffs and everything. Right. And so she just left. And so her and Skip were tight. That was like the combination that worked well in Miami. So once she was let go, he was like, all right, I have an out in my contract after 2024, which I will probably use. And the White Sox are letting you know, hey, it's a rebuilding situation here. If I was Skip, though, if I had a family,
I would not take that job.
I wouldn't either, especially moving my kids to the south side of Chicago. Like, I'm not living anywhere close to that.
No.
That place. I guess I'll live in Chicago, but it's going to be a nice commute to get.
Yeah, that does. Like, I would much rather be the manager of the Marlins than the White Sox.
Well,
did you know the White Sox?
Yes.
Have never signed a $100 million contract.
No,
it's Chicago. The highest contract they've ever signed.
Is it Luis Robert? I don't even know.
Andrew Benintendi.
Oh, and he's been really bad.
It's like $75 million. Well, they're cheap.
The small rumor is that they could be moving in the next 5 years to Nashville.
Could you imagine? Really?
Oh, man. Yes.
Would because they be the White Sox or the Sounds?
I don't know.
The Bats.
That's a good, Sounds. That's a good question. It's just there's no S on the end. It's just the Sound.
There's no net. There's no. Is that the Sounds?
Like
the
Stanley Cup Final? I think you're wrong. I lived in Nashville and I went to games there.
It's the Sounds,
like the Stanley Cup Final.
I don't know. That's a good question. And I think there's only like a 10% chance. But the south side of Chicago has become so bad. It is the Sounds.
Sounds. Thank you.
Has become so bad.
Yeah.
As a city, a place to live, players don't feel safe there. They don't want to be there, one, because of the safety, two, because of the weather. Now, the Cubs deal with the weather, too, but they have this unbelievable historic place.
Yeah, it's a unicorn.
They're in the nice part of Chicago, and so there kind of rumor in baseball circles that it wouldn't happen at the end of this year anytime super soon, but there is a rumor that Chicago, to your point, not getting great attendance, horrible place to live, a lot of violence and murders around that area. And so there's the possibility of Nashville has grown so much over the last 10 to 20 years that Nashville wants to be a major league city, that maybe instead of them being an expansion city, the White Sox would just move out of Chicago and move to Nashville. I don't think it would happen, but there's that possibility.
So when I was in Knoxville, so obviously 2 hours away, like, the state of Tennessee is clearly like Braves country. And I wonder how baseball works in the, like, Atlanta is like the Denver Broncos, where like Denver like kind of owns like all, if you're in the Mountain Time Zone, you're pretty much a Broncos fan. Oh. And like Atlanta, the Braves kind of own like everything from, I don't know, DC to Tampa.
Yeah.
Like just south, right? And then like Texarkana and east. Like they just own everything. I wonder how baseball plays there.
But Nashville, like, I mean, Nashville, like, they do support the Sounds, I think, pretty consistently.
But
like,
the Sounds are a minor league team.
No, but I'm saying that's what I'm saying. There's an appetite for baseball there. There's an appetite
for downtown. I played in the crap one. But
so much so they didn't even have a second S back then.
Yeah, I know.
It fell off the stadium. It had fallen off the sign.
Honest to God, it might have fallen off. That place was pathetic. Now, they have a brand new, I say brand new, I'm sure it's like 10 years old now, maybe a little bit older than that, beautiful stadium downtown. Now, they'd have to totally redo the stands, but they do have the field there to then knock down the stands and then rebuild all the stands. If you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so not build a new stadium, just use that one
until you build
your own.
Outfield seats, obviously, you don't have a third deck. You don't have outfield seats in most minor league stadiums.
Because there's a limit, right? There's a minimum in baseball. You got to have like 35,000-ish.
It matters what level. Yeah, oh, yes.
To be a major league.
Yeah, for major league, I think it has to be 30, but maybe new ones have to be 35.
And that's, so like, but the A's are going to Sacramento?
Supposedly.
Next year?
Yeah, I think it's different when you're talking about you're just trying to get by for
it's
a
temporary
year while you're sitting there. Yeah,
I mean, they only need 2,500 seats for
the two cities that most frequently get talked about as expansion cities are Nashville and Salt Lake. As
probably
like,
Montreal.
Too. What is the better? Who do you think would be the better baseball city though between Nashville and Salt Lake City?
I think Nashville.
Because I don't understand the Salt Lake City thing. Like why they've put
it's a big town,
but they've pushed. So, that doesn't strike me as like. Like, I mean, have the Jazz like carried Utah? Like, I don't know that strike me as a big, this is a market we need to tap into.
I assume that my assumption is the Jazz do pretty well attendance wise. Maybe I'm wrong.
The Jazz do great attendance wise because it's the only major product. That's the only thing about
San Antonio.
Oklahoma City. They sell out pretty much every Thunder game. It's the only product where it's not a minor league product like their AAA team. Now, let me go to Kevin here.
Okay.
Kevin, we are talking in the other room, and it sounded like you were super invested in the United States versus Serbia basketball game.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that game was awesome. Like, it was unbelievable, and the comeback was great. I thought Bogdanovich and obviously Jokic played really, really well. Seeing Steph go wild in the first and the fourth quarter was great. It was really entertaining.
I have a question. I was watching quite a bit of it, too. Why does Serbia hate Carmelo Anthony?
What? Because...
Is it because he
almost got to the record?
Did you not see what Serbia was doing in the game? They were doing the three thing that Carmelo would do, and they'd look right at him in the first row and were screaming obscenities at him.
I guess I was not paying attention to
that. So did you have it on?
They were...
Is this multitasking and didn't have the sound on? Because Dwayne Wade, I get it.
I don't want to listen to him either. God,
he's a more... Well...
Oh, is this some?
I don't know.
It's Darko Milicic related, right?
I'm being dead serious.
It's got to be Darko. Darko was the second pick right before Carmelo, and he was Serbian.
Yeah.
When they were making all their threes, especially Bogdanovich, but they were all looking at Carmelo throughout the game, and sometimes they would do the Carmelo like three sign and then scream obscenities at him.
Okay,
and Dirk was sitting next to him.
I did see Dirk and see when I saw Dirk, he was sitting next to maybe that was the game before. He was sitting next to Manu for a little bit, but maybe that was during the France,
Germany
game.
He was near Carmelo. I don't think maybe right next to him. So Corey,
I'm looking it up right now.
I'm wondering why Serbia hates Carmelo. I hate Carmelo because I think he's just an individual player looking for points, just like.
But
Adrian
he was good
Daly.
In the Olympics for years, right? I mean,
he was a solid role player.
Like KD. This is Darko Milicic related.
Really?
Yeah,
Serbia hates Carmelo.
Darko was Serbian or is Serbian. Like there's this history of Carmelo apparently saying he wanted to play him one-on-one for the rights to be the second pick in the draft because he went third overall. Darko responded to him, said maybe if I were the third pick, he'd be picking apples. Like there was a whole bunch. They've gone back and forth at each other a bunch.
Wow.
So I would guess it's just a Serbian
21 years later, they finally get to yell at Carmelo.
There was also in one of the Olympics, Carmelo torched Serbia and kept doing the three things. So and Bogdanovich was on that team
that
got torched, so he was doing it back at him. And then so it became a thing.
I'm looking at all this stuff now. I didn't realize this at all.
Okay, well,
Win for Joker, though, this was, right?
Unbelievable.
So he lost.
No,
it was the opposite of a winner.
But he's the biggest winner in the entire Olympics, like from the basketball standpoint.
Clearly reasserting who is the best player in the world in case.
Pretty much. I mean, he took a ragtag bunch of the semis, and the other guy didn't even qualify.
Tatum had some pretty good moments cheering from the bench. Yeah. I thought he was really strong there.
Man, this might not be fair, and he'll probably get a gold medal, but does it feel like Jason Tatum will walk away from this Olympics as a loser because people are making fun of him for getting benched all the time?
Yeah, he's the least exciting, interesting, like, superstar player in the history of the NBA. That dude does nothing that's, like, really special or awesome.
Like, I would love him on my team. Like, I think he's a really good...
Tatum?
Yeah. Like, he's a really good team basketball player, but, like... He's not elite necessarily in anything. He's just really good at everything.
Do you find it interesting, Kev or Corey? I'll go to Corey here.
All right.
Sorry, I was looking right at you and called you the wrong name.
It's okay,
like one of my sons. When it comes to watching this United States basketball team, yesterday was the first game where Steve Kerr had to go, here's my six or seven guys and nobody else is playing.
Uh-huh.
That the Phoenix Suns had two major players out there almost at all times. Durant and Booker. And then I won't say at all times because Anthony Davis was more of a filler than a main player, but he was out there quite a bit, part of the seven-man rotation, and LeBron James, who played great. Yet the Lakers and the Suns aren't good in basketball.
Yeah.
Like in the NBA, it's funny to me that Phoenix and LA on the United States basketball team have these, the combination, the United States are saying, these four guys on two different teams are four of our six or seven best players in the United States, and yet they don't win in the playoffs.
Who was the other person on the court? Was Steph the other person?
Steph Curry.
So there you go. That's where Steve Kerr knows he can trust that guy, that for one, and that he can get all the rest of them to play team ball.
Well, he knows he can trust Durant, too.
And on those other teams, they don't play team ball, they play star ball. And they're playing team. I mean, nobody's scoring 50 points on these games. It's distributed evenly.
Steph tried yesterday.
I felt a little bit bad for Anthony Edwards.
Again, sometimes Steve Kerr says, hey, go ahead and do it, buddy.
For who?
Anthony Edwards. That he kind of, as the game progressed, as it got close, they were like, we get it, young man, but
we're going with the not in this moment.
Yeah. And he wasn't making his corner threes when I was watching. He had two or three like wide open corner threes, and he missed them both. But how many times in his life has he been the guy who stands and waits for a corner three shot?
Yeah.
So I think it becomes difficult on guys like that. All right,
but
so
you really enjoyed watching the game, right?
I thought
it was amazing.
I did, and I thought going into the fourth quarter, I thought Serbia was going to win. Mm-hmm.
At 10:20, our new Olympic segment, hopefully the last name, We the Steeple. And then this is weird, Kevin. At 11:20, cocaine buying Olympians Jerry Jones and Mike Bassick.
Oh,
do they deserve
Mike.
Forgiveness Friday?
This is about the Olympics.
He's a cocaine Olympian.
Jerry Jones
Jerry
or
Jones
me?
Is? Jerry and Mike?
I've never
Jordan.
Done,
there are commas in there.
I've never done cocaine and never will.
The Unless other, Ricky Henderson asks you.
The other option we had was Conundrum.
Conundrum.
That might be what we run
Very
out
nice.
On Monday.
Very nice.
Hey, Peyton, I remembered your name. Thanks for the music. That was awesome.
You're welcome. No.
Fan Bowl tomorrow, Mike.
Fan Bowl tomorrow.
Fan Bowl.
He just found that out. You can see on his face.
I know. Coming up next, KNC Masterpiece.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas. This is sports the way it should be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey, and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.